I do want to know, like, you know more football than either one of us have forgotten, right? Because you just been in it since you were little. Walk us through what it's like growing up in a football house the way that you did.
Growing up in a football house, my dad's obviously is a coach. It's pretty much just football season 24/7. Either he's out on the road recruiting, or he's in the office late night putting in a game plan for the next week. And me playing football myself, I'm always at football practice. I'm always at a football game. I had a brother who played football who's older than me. So if I wasn't at my game, I was at his game. So on Friday night, I'm going to his game. Saturday morning, I'm going to my game. Then Saturday evening, I'm going to be at my dad's game. So it's pretty much in football my entire life. And if I'm not playing football, I'm watching football. I'm watching old games on YouTube, or like, since we played on Saturday, I watched the games that went on while we were playing, like later that day. We'll never have time to.
That's pretty cool, man. I mean, I think it obviously, like, your dad's gone a lot. Like, you get to do some cool stuff because of that. I'm curious, in the recruiting process, like, children of former players have a certain perspective that, like, my kid, if my kid's being recruited, is not going to have because I wasn't a former player. Similar with the son of a coach, how much did your dad help you navigate the recruiting process to the point that you were able to pick out Clemson? How was his perspective
For me
helpful?
personally, I would say my dad really just let me go through the recruiting process. Obviously, he was there as a helping hand. Like, obviously, if he felt something like was good for me, he would let me know. But he really let me fill out all the schools that I felt were right for me. And like, he would just be like, if he agreed with, he would co-sign. If he didn't, he would let me know, and he would tell me how he felt about everything. And he would also give a coach's perspective and a dad's perspective, because obviously, at the end of the day, he's still my dad. So that's what I felt was unique about that entire like process, that he would like pretty much let me make my own decisions, but obviously he's gonna put his input from a dad's standpoint and a coach's standpoint.
You played early, played a lot last year. So you've been in, not this defense for a while, but you've been in college football defense for a little while. How would you assess the first 2 weeks of performances from your side of the football?
The first 2 weeks from the defense side of the ball, I feel it's been great pretty much. We gave up 17 points last week, and we gave up seven, might have been, I think, 10 points last week, from like from just like
Oh, we for sure, like, on this program, we do not give the offenses points that they give to the other team to the defense. You can be
it's all
assured of
good, it's all
that,
good. But yeah, only 10 points. So I feel that we're playing great so far. We're playing fast, we're playing physical, and this is, we're all like communicating and just like making sure everybody's doing their job. And yeah.
When you look at last weekend, how does a player explain what happens in the first half? Last compared to the second half, I mean, you guys came out of the locker room and were a different team.
Yeah. Coach Sweeney always says there's nothing less important than the score at halftime, and that's pretty much just the mindset.
Unless you're down 40, and then it's pretty important.
But yeah, that's what Coach Sweeney says, and we just pretty much just stuck to it. And we went at halftime, we knew we had to mentally just reset, forget about it, and then we had to come back out and just start fast and just continue to play fast, because the offense came out and punched them right in the mouth, and the defense, we came out and just kept fighting and pushing. Because as a defensive player, you can't worry about what the offense is doing, and as an offensive player, you really can't worry about what the defense is doing. Because if one of them is playing bad, it's okay. Just go out there and do your job and do whatever you can do to help the team. And as a defense, I felt like that's what we were doing. They were just trying to help complement the offense and give them a little boost. And like, hypothetically, in the future, if the defense isn't playing well, we know the offense is going to give us a boost because of the great players that they have on that side of the ball too. And we, as a defense, we didn't really flinch. We weren't really worried about what the offense was doing, because we know the talent and the coaching scheme over there is great. So we really weren't really worried about anything.
You basically play one series and then go sit in the locker room for an hour and a half or whatever it was. I would imagine there's a little bit of coaching right out of the gate. And then, I mean, what do you guys do? You're just literally sitting around waiting?
Nah, we're not just sitting around waiting. We're in there talking about schemes, stuff like that. Really just going over the first drive, and we're just still just because Coach Allen always says you're coaching until kickoff. Kickoff happened, and then we started playing the series. They scored, so we went in there, had some adjustments, and just pretty much just adjusted from there.
Visiting with Ashton Hampton here on the program. I want to know your list is 6'2", 200. Okay. I remember in your recruiting process, it was like this: is he a safety? Is he a corner? But he's either going to be a big corner, or he's got a chance to be safety, or he can do all the above, you know, nickel, whatever. How do you see yourself when you think of yourself as a football player?
When I think of myself as a football player, I see myself as an athlete. Because in high school, I played everywhere. I played receiver. I played a little bit of quarterback. I played some running back. I played safety. I played corner. So I really just see myself as an athlete. I could play any position on the field. And just, yeah.
So are you lobbying for more of like a Travis Hunter role? Like, hey, you pull up that film. You see them highlights.
Not a Travis Hunter role. I'm trying to have an Ashton Hampton role.
Oh, that's, I love it, man. You're speaking my language.
Also played basketball, right?
Yes, sir. What's it called? Charlie Ward was my basketball coach in high school from
– how about that?
10th – well, from 9th grade to 11th grade because I didn't play my senior year. But, yeah, Charlie Ward was my basketball coach.
How was that? That had to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, he was a great guy. I love Coach Ward. If I ever need anything, I could text or call him. He's a great guy. He poured a great lesson to us as young men. He, like, pretty much taught us. And then, like, he's such a humble guy. Like, you would never know that he won a Heisman Trophy. And I don't know if they won a national championship, but you just wouldn't know because he never talks about himself. It was always about us as players and him pouring into us and helping us grow.
You said you like to watch old football games. Mm-hmm. Do you ever go back and watch some of his games? Because, oh, my gosh.
I actually have because I didn't, like, obviously I'm younger and I never got to watch him play, like, myself. But, like, when I tell people that he's my coach, they're like, really? And, like, cause obviously I'm a younger guy. I don't really, like, know his true impact. But I know that the stuff he did in the past was great. But, like, that's something I do need to go do is watch some of his old games because I heard he was really that.
He was one of one.
Yeah.
At that time.
He was.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember I was like, the moment where you mean the backup point guard for the Knicks won a Heisman Trophy? And like that, because I was still really young when Charlie, like, I don't remember any Florida State Danny Cannell.
And for me, Charlie Ward was, you mean the quarterback at Florida State's going to play for the Knicks?
I was
the other way.
Like, he was a two-sport guy. Did he ever try to talk you into, like, hey, man,
nah,
spend a little time with basketball? Like, was he good with you focus on the gridiron a little bit more?
Yeah, I feel like everybody at my high school knew. I was a football player just playing basketball. I was going out there having fun, being athletic and stuff like that. Basketball was never really in my forte.
All right, I got to ask about this. I have some questions, okay, mm-hmm. about Florida State University High School.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, in Catholic school, like, you learn Catholic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you learn about Osceola, like, when you go to homeroom or something. Like, what is Florida State University High School?
Nah, we don't really learn about, like, Florida State stuff like that, but, like, it's just basically Florida State's high school. That's really all
okay.
Yeah. And, like, we might get some of their – I remember the year I got there in seventh grade, they gave us, like, I think maybe, like, old cleats or stuff like that, like, cleats that they didn't really, like, need anymore or use. So they gave us the stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. We actually got a text from a texter that's interesting. It came up in Dabo Swinney's press conference earlier. It says, from the 803, can you guys ask Ashton his perspective on what's different for the offense, which has struggled through two games versus practice, in which, by all accounts, they've been really good. Your head coach was like, hey, the issues we've been having in games, we didn't see any of that in practice. That's why we're all kind of bewildered. What was it like going against this offense every day in practice in August camp?
Going against them in camp, it was a challenge. You got great receivers. You got Antonio Williams, Brian Wesco, TJ Moore, Tristan Smith, Tyler Brown, Cole Turner. And, like, going against them every day for me was a challenge. It's like, those are great receivers. Like, I just named a couple NFL receivers, and, like, there's some dogs. And, like, the offensive line, you got Tristan Lee, Blake Miller, Harris Sewell, Elijah Thurman, like, Ryan Lithicum. Like, those are dogs over there. Like, every day we're coming in, we're competing. Like, every day is pretty much like a game day for us. Like, we had scrimmage days, but every day was really a scrimmage. Because one day, if I were to show up out there and not be completely locked in, I would get exposed. And the same thing for the receivers. If they were to come out there and, like, not be locked in, like, it would show. But, like, in fall camp, everybody really pushed each other. And, like, some of the things that have shown through the first two games, obviously nobody saw in fall camp. But it's okay because we know that eventually they're going to get turned around. And me personally, I'm not worried about anything because I know the talent that we have on that side of the ball.
Let's talk about Georgia Tech a little bit. It strikes me that you are a bigger corner.
Yes,
and against these offenses, it seems to me that having bigger corners that can, like, hold up against, mm-hmm. like, the RPO game and stuff like that, do you feel that's one of your strengths? And what do you expect to see from them in that way that's going to sort of stress you on the outside?
Personally, I don't really know how they're going to attack me. I feel like, obviously, you can come and attack me. Like, I really do, like, want a challenge. But personally, I feel like they're going to try to run the ball because they have a great quarterback. He's been, I don't know, he might have been there 2 to 3 years, but he's a great quarterback. He's a veteran guy. I feel like he's going to use his knowledge of the game and try to just make plays. They have a great running back. They have great receivers. And really, overall, I feel like they're going to come out with a great game plan and just try to do everything they can to win.
You guys have not given up a lot of points. Mm-hmm. What's the point of growth you want to see from maybe you in particular or your position group or your defense? Like, what's the thing that you're really honing in on this week? Do you want to get better?
Me personally, I want to make sure I'm honing on my technique and my effort, and I'm making sure I'm running to the ball, stuff like that. And I'm making sure, like, the line of scrimmage, I'm watching receivers' hips, I'm getting my hands on receivers, I'm making sure I'm calling everything out, I'm communicating to my safeties, and just making sure that I'm on the same page with everybody in the secondary, and we know what we're doing, and we can just move, like, pretty much like a string, like, just pulling. One side pull it, the other side pull.
Complimentary football. Yes, I think that's what he's talking about right there. All right, what's your favorite non-football hobby?
100% is sleeping.
Sleeping. It's not even so close. The nap room is your friend. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. If I'm not watching or doing anything football related, I'm 100% laying on my bed, taking a nap or just scrolling on TikTok or Instagram.
Would you rather be in your bed, or are you good, like, rolling up in that nap room and just, like, getting out?
The bed is nice, but when you're in the nap room, it's like you don't got to worry about anything because you're already at the facility. So, like, if you happen to oversleep, you just walk to the meeting room. But if you're at home.
This is my kind of guy. He's already planning to oversleep.
Yeah,
this,
like,
is my kind of guy.
if you're at home and you just happen to oversleep, you got to rush. You got to get in the car. You got to drive at least 5 to 10 minutes. Got to go to speed limit. Like, you can't do no rushing, no speed. And, yeah, because, yeah, when that happens, you're out of luck. You're going to be late to the meeting. Why weren't you here? Dang, man, I was asleep. It's a bad day for everybody.
I'll tell you what, that perimeter road speed limit is tough, man.
Yeah.
That downhill.
35 miles an hour.
I'm tell you what, your boy wasn't going 35 today. I looked down, and it was not 35 today. So let me ask you this. You go in the nap room here.
Yes, sir.
Is there anybody else that you're like, God, that guy's always in here? Like, he's always in here, and sometimes I just want to be by myself. Like, do you have any nap aficionados on your team?
Not that I can think of right now, but, like, in a couple of minutes when I walk out here, I'll probably feel like, oh, yeah, he is always in there. Yeah.
I put you on the spot on that one. But now you're going to notice.
Oh, yeah.
Last 3 times I've been in here.
Yeah, I've been in over there sleeping in the corner, yeah.
I love it. Ashton, thank you for the time, man. This
yes,
has been
sir.
A lot of fun. Best of luck this weekend at Georgia Tech.
Yes,
really
sir.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you.